400-verse treatise by Aryadeva. Chapter 11, indicating the meditations for refuting truly existent time. When the vase has not yet come about, the vase that will be present does not exist, nor does the vase that will later have passed away. Otherwise, if the past, present, and future were static and truly existent, as you Vaidantikas claim, then since both the vase that will be present and the one that will have passed would already be existing when they had not yet come about, then in fact there would be no time when they had not yet come. Even if only a portion of the vase that will have disintegrated existed in the nature of the vase that has not yet come about, it would in fact not yet have come about. How can that which truly exists in the nature of having not yet come ever become what has already passed away? If time not yet come were a substantially existent static functional phenomenon, then time not yet come would have to abide truly existently and forever. Therefore, because of that, as such a time would have arisen but never ceased to be, it would become the present and would not exist at all as what had not yet come. If, as you Vaisheshikas, Vaibhashikas, and so forth claim, time not yet come were truly existent, and time already past were truly existent, and time presently happening were truly existent, when would any of them ever not exist? From what grounds, then, would any debater who asserted the substantial existence of all three times also be able to assert non-staticness or impermanence? If a truly existent time already past were to pass away, then for what reason would it have been a time past if it need pass again? And if a truly existent time already past were not to pass away, then for what reason would it be a time past, since it would always be the case? If the three times were substantially existent non-static functional phenomenon, as you Vaibhashikas claim, and the past and future of an object were the same as that object itself, then if the vase not yet come had already arisen, how could it not become equivalent to a present vase that is here and now, since it has arisen and not yet ceased? Either that would be so, or if it has no arising, would the vase not yet come become eternal, or what? It would have to be eternal, since what is eternal and static has no arising. Suppose you say that the vase not yet come is non-static and impermanent due to the fact that it disintegrates when the vase of the present comes about from causes and circumstances, although it itself has no arising. Well then, as the vase already passed does not have a disintegration, why do you not consider it as static and eternal with no arising? As for the vase already passed away and the vase of the present, since these could not become impermanent if they had substantial existence, because what is truly past cannot disintegrate and what is truly present cannot be associated with the process of disintegration, then the third time, namely that not yet come, which in aspect is different from these two, cannot exist as both substantially existent and impermanent either, since then it would be independent of the other two times. If you accept that functional phenomenon that will arise later exists substantially before they have arisen, well, because of that, don't you fall to the distorted position of those propounders of chance, the Charvakas, who assert that everything exists without a cause? It is unreasonable to say that whatever is to come about later already exists beforehand as the substantially existent future. If what already existed were to arise later, it would amount to what has already arisen, needing to come about again. If the substantially existent functional phenomenon not yet come about could be seen by the yogis, then why couldn't totally non-existent phenomena like rabbit's horns also be seen? Anyone who accepts time not yet come as substantially existent cannot have far distant occurrences happen to him, since they would always remain truly in the future. If your Dharma vows of the time not yet come already had substantial existence without need to have done any practice to develop an interest in taking them, then definitely to restrain yourself by taking them would become pointless. Why make even a little effort? A result of your effort would be impossible, as your vows of the time not yet come would already be a substantially existent. If disturbing emotions and suffering not yet come did not exist as non-static functional objective phenomenon, but only as static non-functional metaphysical ones, as you Sautrantikas believe, Then you would already be liberated without need to tighten your effort to develop true pathway minds that cognize no true self. Like arhats who were freed, disturbing emotions and suffering not yet come would not exist objectively at all for you, and therefore could never come to affect you. And if that were so, then when desire indeed came about in your mental continuum, which should have been without any future attachment, it would come about without cause, as if in the mental continuum of an arhat. For you Samkhyas and Vaibhashikas who assert the true existence of the result simultaneous with the cause, and you Sautrantikas who assert the non-existence as functional phenomenon of results not yet come about, adorning supports such as pillars and so forth become pointless in order to produce a house as the result. Suppose, as you Samkhyas assert, that functional phenomena of the time present truly exist, since they are transformations of truly existent static primal matter, in which they existed unmanifestly during the time when they had not yet come about. But even this is incorrect, since such unmanifest existence of the present is not cognitively taken as an object even by the mind. As this is seen to be so, it is only the unlearned who conceive of the time present to be truly existent. As they have no truly existent abiding, how can functional phenomena be the cause for imputing the true existence of time? As they are non-static, how can they have an abiding? If something were to abide as it was at first, it can never become old in the end. Moreover, just as one moment of consciousness cannot be conscious of two moments of an object, likewise two moments of consciousness cannot be conscious of the same moment of an object. If on the basis of true existence time had an abiding as something currently happening, it would never change from being the abiding time. On the other hand, on the basis of true existence, how could time have no abiding? For then there could be no end to its not abiding, and nothing would ever occur. If impermanence and functional phenomena were truly existent and different, functional phenomena could not become impermanent and perish. And if they were truly existent and the same, how could what was impermanent and non-static ever abide for even an instant as a functional phenomenon? Truly existent phenomena that have less strength in permanence while they abide cannot have less strength abiding later, which they would need to in order to perish. But if they were truly existent in their former condition of abiding with weak impermanence, by whom can their later turning away from the state of abiding be seen? Their impermanence would never have enough strength to overcome their abiding. But if on the basis of true existence they had not less strength and permanence while they abide, in other words, their impermanence was stronger then than their ability to abide, then all functional phenomena that existed at all times would truly existently have no abiding, because their abiding would never have enough strength to overcome their impermanence, and so they would instantly change. Or the whole lot of them could not actually be impermanent, because none of them would ever abide long enough to perform a function, and non-functional phenomena are static and permanent. If functional phenomena truly existently abided, which means they would be static while abiding, and then they came to exist with impermanence in order for them to perish, then their permanence would have no abiding. Furthermore, what had already become static would later have become non-static, which is self-contradictory. If, on the other hand, functional phenomena truly existed simultaneously as both abiding and non-static, then either their impermanence would have to reverse while they were abiding, or their abiding would become false when they perished. As it is certain that functional phenomena already seen cannot appear again, and that a consciousness with an actual past event as its object cannot arise once more, then what is known as remembering is a deceptive cognition that arises in but a distorted manner toward a distorted object.